We're glad you came to hear the word of the Lord, because we have a good Father. See, God is our Father. And today, my heart is to, if I can find my notes here, praise the Lord, talk a little bit about that. And because He's a good Father. See, all the earthly fathers that we have are wonderful. They set good examples. We thank God for them. You know, some don't set good examples. You know, some of us here today and people in churches all over, you know, maybe they weren't a good father at one time. Maybe there was things that weren't perfect. But we know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us. He can forgive. And He can save to the uttermost. And not only that, if you know, people weren't, that don't have good fathers, and someone comes to the Lord, God can heal that broken heart and He can mend it. He can make it new like it never happened before. You know, all of us have suffered something in life. I mean, maybe it wasn't anything major, but you know, something, some kind of rejection, you know, something a teacher said. I know when I was in the first grade, my teacher tried to tell me I couldn't learn anything, but I showed her wrong. Hallelujah, you know, but all of us have had something, you know, that happened in your life that maybe it was, you know, very tragic. Maybe you had an abusive father, or maybe you didn't. That's good. I hope you had a good father. But in some ways, you know, we all look to someone and we look to them to give the guidance. But we have a Father from heaven that decided to make mankind. That was His first choice. He's a creator. God is a creator. Our Father was a creator. And the whole purpose of mankind, He came. He says, I would like to have a family. And the Bible said He prepared the earth for mankind. And I mean, I don't think I mean, the earth looks pretty good right now, but you got to realize it's under a curse at the moment. The Bible says it's groaning for redemption, to be redeemed. One day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You say, well, when's that day? The Father has said, God, Jesus said, only the Father knows. Even I have not been given that time frame. But there's coming a day that Jesus is coming again. And from the signs, you know, and the things that we see around us right now, we know that day is coming pretty soon. Everybody says, well, every generation says that. I know, but we're closer than ever. We are close to it. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Matthew 24, you know, and some of the things that were happening there. I'm just going to read that real quick. I don't know if I'm on that, but I'm going to share this because He's a creator. But God wanted the family. Matthew 24:7, for the nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I mean, if you look up, you know, even verse, you know, well, really starting verse 4, Jesus said, let no man deceive you. He said, how are we going to know the end? When's the end, Jesus? Let no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation is going to rise against nation. In other words, He's saying there the nation is really ethnic. Ethnos is the Greek word. See, the Bible is written from Greek. We have the translation, but ethnos, that's different ethnic groups. One ethnic group will rise against another. We're seeing that right now even more. I mean, it's happened throughout history, through all of history, but this is coming more and more and more. And we know that for sure. I mean, signs of the times are here. We're seeing more earthquakes. I mean, we've even had, there's even been earthquakes in many places that never had them before. I know when Lisa and I used to live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we never heard of earthquakes, but they started happening. And they said, well, there's a fault not too far from there, just, this, you know, a few hundred miles over that runs right through there. I said, wow. So things are going to get better eventually. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. But until that time, we're passing through this earth. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 real quick. Listen, God is the creator. He created man. 26 through 28 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God created man, says, in his own image, in the likeness of himself. He wanted some company. He wanted a family. He wanted sons and daughters. Now we know that first he created, you know, the second chapter kind of explains a little bit more, where he first created, verse 18, he first created Adam, right? And it says here, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. I'm going to create a woman for him. So he takes his rib, puts him into a deep sleep. You know, everybody thinks we're just new on that, you know, putting people under, you know, and operating on them. But God did that long time before we ever had that. Amen. He did. Took the rib, formed the woman. It's very interesting to me because God said all of these things and they were created. But when it came to man, it said he made man. He began to form man in my own image from the dust of the earth. And I mean, that's why we eat vegetables and plants and things that come from the earth and cows that eat the plants that, you know, that are digested. I mean, it's the way God made it. Like kind produces after like kind. You know, we see some things that kind of, we would say evolve, you know, in a sense, but you don't see any species evolving with another species. It just doesn't happen. It never will. As long as the earth remains. See, people talk about, well, the planet's warming up. As long as the earth remains, the Bible says, there'll be seed time and harvest, spring and winter. Okay? And summer. Summer and winter. You know, it's going to be. There's going to be seasons. As long as the earth remains. So don't worry. We're not going to burn up yet. We're also not going to freeze out. My point is, God created man. He wanted a family. And he said, I want to be a father, basically, is what he's saying. He said, hey, you know, I am a father to you. And so he came. And when man fell, we lost our position with God. He was still our father, in a sense. But spiritually, man died on the inside. He said, if you partake of the fruit, you will surely die. And they're thinking physically, I'm sure. They did not instantly physically die. But on the inside of them, they were separated from God. Because their spirit went from life to death. Just like your spirit goes from death to life. See, they had just the opposite effect. And so they could remember walking with God in the cool of the day. They could remember this awesome fellowship with the Father, face to face, one to one. And God comes, and he was so wanting to walk with him that day, I'm sure. He said, Adam, Eve, where are you? Where art thou? He said, do you think he didn't know? The Bible said, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. In other words, that's just a big word, means all-knowing. You know, I can give you all the big words. You know, but what, you know, the funny thing is you give all the big words and then we define them, you know. I mean, why don't you just tell them, you know? He's all knowing. He knows everything in his foreknowledge from beginning to end, from before the beginning to the end. You see, you and I, we had a beginning, each of us. I mean, the Bible doesn't, you know, God doesn't have a beginning. He just is. God is. He is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not a father that withholds. He's a father that gives. And he came, and there's Adam and Eve. Have you eaten from the tree? What have you done? Have you eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And the blame game began. The serpent beguiled me. You know, first Adam's there. Well, it was this woman. She was there with him and she ate of the tree. And they knew not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't know evil. They didn't know the difference. They were total innocents. But that day, the knowledge of good and evil came in. And the important thing was, God said, I still want to redeem you. He couldn't totally fellowship with them. He couldn't have a full communion with them. Why? Because they had sinned. They had done sin against God. Now, sin is an act of rebellion, right? Or it could be a passive indifference. Well, I don't care. I don't know if God's there. You know, whatever. That's good. Good for you. Good for everybody. No, it's for all. You see? Passiveness can send us to hell. Wow. Pastor Doug, you're preaching kind of hard today. No, but it's still true. We have all opportunity. God has placed on the inside of man that desire to know Him. He has. You see it all over the world. I mean, why do you think people are doing things? You know, why does somebody become a drunk? They're trying to feel something. They're trying to fill that void. They're trying to find something to fill. What only God can fill. Only God Almighty, our Father, that created us in His image, in His likeness. Because He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be a friend to us, a father to us. He wants to take us by the hand and say, hey, puts His arm around us. This is the way it's done. Come on, son. Let me show you. He's not angry with mankind. The Bible says He doesn't impute that. You know, He's not upset because of the sin. He said, I produced a remedy. It's right here. Would you take it? He said, I won't force you. Why? Because He didn't want robots. He wanted a relationship. How many know you can't force somebody to love you? If I get in a relationship with my wife, she's a free will agent and so am I. I mean, we have chosen and made a commitment. We've kept that commitment to each other. But if someone chooses not to, what can one party do? We can pray, we can believe, we trust God. But ultimately, it is their choice. It is our choice that we make. And we made a covenant. That means there's terms to the covenant. If I break the covenant, then do certain things, she has a right. To say, well, I appreciate you, honey. I really do love you. But I'm sorry, I can't accept that kind of behavior. You going out and whatever I did, you know. I'm not saying, you know, it's within guidelines, you know. Jesus says, except, you know, we should live peaceably with all men as far as it depends upon us. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. Or if someone is in a sin, caught in sin, lives in sin, does not want to repent, you have no obligation. You become free. Why? Because God has never forced us to do anything. He'll never force you to love Him. He's already come to you. He said, I've provided the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And that's what He said in Genesis 3:15. He said, I'm telling you, here's what I'm going to do, guys. I don't know. He's a Father. He created us. But He's a good Father. And He said, I made a plan already. Genesis 3:15, He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And now He's talking to the Satan here, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, where He's talking here is to Satan. Satan came, deceived them, they ate of the tree. Now they have to leave the garden. If God hadn't put them out of the garden, you know, they could eat from the tree of life. We'd be in this condition for all eternity. We'd be stuck in all this mess forever. It would never be cleared up. But He said, I've got a plan. I'm sending the seed of woman. From the seed of that woman shall come a Savior. And His name is Jesus. and He will save the people from their sin, and you can be born from above, and I will rebirth you unto myself, that your spirit will go back from death to life, that you may have fellowship with the Father of your spirit. I will become the Father that redeemed you. I will become a Father unto you. Hallelujah, because all through the old covenant He made time and time again, He says, I've got a covenant with you. I love you, mankind. I love you. And God could come upon them. The Holy Spirit could rest upon their body. He would come on them to do great feats. You know, I was telling Joseph the other day, I said, I think Samson was probably somebody about your size, you know, who ran up there and carried the great gates off, you know. We always picture him as some big burly guy, but it wasn't his natural strength. It was the super strength from God Almighty. Elijah, who outran the chariot. Can you imagine that? Woo! He says, get ready to rain, boys! Here I go! And he took off and outran the chariot because the power of God came upon his flesh. See, it always came upon their flesh. But God desired, he says, you know, and God would live within the tabernacle and in those things. And our Father said, I want to visit man. So he made a way. He said, I've got a way for now. I clothe you. If you'll do these things, I accept that. You are believing in what I said, that there's a coming Messiah. And his name is Jesus. He's going to come and he's going to take away the sin. But right now, if you'll bring these certain things, and he had to go on the outside of man to curb their flesh. He gave them the law. Have no other gods before me. Worship, you know, no other gods before me, you know. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't do bad to your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's things. Don't steal them. Don't covet, don't desire them. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. You know, have your own wife. Don't look for somebody else's. Hallelujah, that's a good for today too. Don't look for somebody else's, amen. All the men said amen. That's my wife, bless God. And also Job said, I may, you know, you make a covenant with your eyes. He said, see, there's three things that talk about this. And he said, the pride of life, right? You know, what we think about, you know, the pride of life is one of the things that he says we get prideful, you know, the lust of the eyes. You know, what we look at, what we see, the eye gate. You know, these are things that trip up the flesh. See, the flesh of man. Man was not yet born again, but yet God dealt with, so God had to deal with them in a different way through the ages to show us the need for Jesus. They needed Christ. So the Bible says the law was good. Why was it good? It helped them see, I can't keep this law. I can't obey all these commandments. You know, Jesus says, yeah, it says, you know, all the men, you know, especially, but Jesus said, if you lust after a woman to have adultery in your own heart, see, you've broken the law. He took it a little further. See, no covenant, they didn't, you know, as long as they didn't go get that woman, they might have wanted her, but they were under the law. But we're under one law, the law of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Hallelujah. Love our neighbor as ourselves, because on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On those two things, love. Love. See, we've got a good Father. He's a good Father. He's good to all. Good to all. Psalm 145, 8 and 9. Let's read that from him. But here we have Jesus, the Creator. God created. Our Father created. He said, I'm promising you Jesus in the third chapter there. Let's go to Psalm real quick, 145. I want to see this. Because our Father, He is a good Father. What kind of Father do we have? We got a Father that's a Creator, number one, right? He created us in His image. He gave us a will and said, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I desire you. See, if God had one fault, it's mankind. See, that's His fault. He's in love with man. He loves mankind. Can't help himself. You see, there's things about God that we need to realize. He can't change. Nor can he be changed. Called immutable. He can't change, nor can he be changed. So there's no shadow of turning within our Father. He's not going to change. He's a constant. His nature can't change. His ability and his power is great. He has all power. All knowing. He could do, everybody says, well, he can do what he wants. Yes. But he's chosen to limit himself and set his rule right here. He said, this is what I'll do. Here's what I'll do with this word, what he has spoken to us. He has limited himself in some ways. Otherwise, if God got mad at man at any given time, he could annihilate us. He could. And he's thought about it a few times. He did. I mean, Moses was there. He said, I'm going to get rid of all of them and just start with you, Moses. And he interceded. He said, oh, Lord, no. He said, please, Lord, no. And he sought God for them. Abraham sought God for Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't want them all to be destroyed. And he said, oh, Lord, let me ask you. If there's 50 righteous, surely there's 50 righteous here, Lord. And he went all the way down to 10 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, Lord. If there's 20 righteous, will you spare this? Yep, I'll spare him for 20 righteous, Abraham. How about 10, Lord? How about 10? And God cannot find 10 righteous. And the city was destroyed. Now, Lot and his family were rescued. They were, quote unquote, righteous. I mean, they were on the fringe of, living in all the iniquity around them, and I'm sure it affected their life. But God found just one righteous family, and that's it. They were spared. They came out. Just don't look back. He said, don't look back. Don't desire in your heart to go back there to a sinful place. Hallelujah. Well, they had sin was abounding. That's why he did it. So I've got to destroy this because man was not yet changed on the inside. He was lost from God. He was separated from God because of sin, because of the death nature on the inside. But God says, I am eventually going to dwell in mankind. He said that was his desire. That's what all the prophets were looking for. Oh, that God could dwell on the inside of mankind. Oh, my Lord. Whew. I'm telling you, God had a plan. We said, God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they sit down there, I'm sure, at the conference table of God. And God began to say, I love my man. I want to redeem my man. I know he's fallen and I know he's gone astray. But I love mankind and I want to redeem him. And Jesus says, well, I'll go. I'll go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'll go. I'll leave all of heaven and go to my creation as a son. I'll become a man. I mean, that boggles my brain. Think about that. If you made something and you become like the thing you made. Talk about being humbled. Humbling himself. He says, I want to redeem him. Man had to have man. He had to have someone like himself that didn't sin. Because all of mankind, the Bible says, through one man, Adam, death reigned. Sin reigned. But through one man, Jesus Christ, there was eternal life that was brought. There was a redemption that was brought. Sin was destroyed. Hallelujah. But God, I was saying God was good. I never did read that scripture. That's okay. We'll get there. Hallelujah. But our Father's the Creator. Our Father's good. He's got mankind. Let's look over here in Romans first. We may get back here into our one in Psalm. But let's go to Romans chapter 5. That's what I was talking about right here. Romans 5, verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one. Death reigned by that one. That's Adam and Eve. When Adam sinned, he stood up as the man and he took the responsibility. God placed it on him. He says, you're the man. You should have protected the garden like I told you. Now, Eve, she was deceived, but you, man, Adam, you're responsible. You missed it. You've fallen. Now all men, it says, verse 17, by one man, right? Death reigned by one. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Talking about Christ. Okay? So we see the offense of one, Adam, brought the death. But the obedience of Jesus brought life. He said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. What more abundant life can we have than when Christ moves on the inside of us? See, Jesus was in the beginning. Said he was with God and was God. All things, there's nothing that was made that could have been made, not one single thing, that he wasn't there making those things. See, God's one. He was there with the Father. That life had to come into the earth. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. About that life. The very life of God came so that God could live on the inside of mankind. Hallelujah. This is good news. John 1. Let's just read that for a minute because I'm kind of... John 1. Let me just read that. Where the life... See, he was in the beginning. Jesus. We've got a good Father. We've got a Father that loved us. A Father that came to redeem us. A Father that came to purchase us back. See, he had to do it legally. There's laws in the earth. Anybody ever heard of the law of gravity? If you defy it too much, it will kill you. Some people have found that out. You said, well, I'm going to kill myself. Well, how did they know they would die? Because the law of gravity was in effect. It's a law. It's a physical law. Well, there's laws in God. And one is the law of sin and death, and the other is the law of the Spirit of life. See, this is the law of the Spirit of life. God had to come forth. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Talking about Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. No, not one single thing. That's what it says in the Greek. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. It was the development of men. It was the light of men, this life. And the light shined in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not or could not extinguish that light. It was impossible. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of that light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but bore witness of that light. That was the true light which shines, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But he came unto his own, and they didn't receive him either. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that name is Jesus, the name which was exalted and given above every other name in the world. You see, it's not just saying the name of Jesus, but faith in that name. Because what did that name represent? It represented life, and life more abundant. He said, I came that you might have life, and that you can have that life more abundantly. John 10:10, the thief came. Yes, Satan came. He came to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come to give you life, and life more abundant. And it's a life that comes to live on the inside of you. You can have that life today. You've received that life. It will guide you. It will lead you. It will strengthen you. It will redeem you. It caused you to have a home in heaven and a father that loves you. You see, when you don't have God, your father is the devil. Because you're in darkness. Nobody says, well, why? Well, the devil, I never worshipped him. I know you haven't. But see, he is the God of this world. And when we're caught in a world system, the world, when we're a friend of the world, we're not a friend of God. We're the enemy of God. But he says, when we know God, he leaves us in the world, but we're not necessarily of this world. Why? Because we've been born from above. We have a new father. We have a home in heaven. We've got Jesus who is still alive. He was raised from the dead. Yes, they did see him, but he also ascended to heaven. Acts chapter 1, remember? He had been risen from the dead when he's telling them, go to Jerusalem, guys, and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Let's go to Acts 1. I don't know. Boy, glory to God. I'm preaching good today. Hallelujah. Getting excited because there's life in Christ Jesus. There's life in our Father. Our Father did not come to save us, to let us sit on a pew and, you know, and say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, oh, how we love you so much, Lord. And we have nothing to do. He's got a plan for us. He's got a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are of another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus did go back into heaven. It says here, let's look here in verse 4 of Acts 1. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, have you heard of? For John truly baptized you with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit not many days hence from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they yet beheld or saw him, they're looking at him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah. Then they returned to Jerusalem, at the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So they're here, and here's Jesus giving them his last command. He said, I've got to go back up to the Father. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the place where my Father is. Why? He is the sacrificial lamb. You see, Jesus was in the bosom of the Father today. He goes back and forth out of the bosom of the Father. Why? He is interceding for all mankind, every person. He said, I took their place, Lord, forgive them. See, all is forgiven. People need to come to God. Sin isn't the biggest problem. It's really not. Yes, it's separated us from God. And we need to repent of it. We need to turn to Jesus, who is the answer, who has redeemed us, who has made a way. And when we believe that, yes, Jesus, I believe that you became sin for me. I believe that you poured yourself out for me. I believe that your blood was shed for me. I'm telling you, we've got a good Father. A good, good Father. And he cares about mankind, or he wouldn't have sent his only begotten Son. Some of you fathers here know. Would you give up your son for all the world? No. I mean, you're seeing some pretty people that are, they may be kind of wicked, but they wouldn't give up their child for anybody. No father. No decent father. Now see, everybody's like, well, our Father wants us. He wants fellowship with us. He wants us to commune with Him. He wants to talk things over with Him. He doesn't want us to just do our own thing. Well, what do you think, Father? Is this good? Is this not? He knows what's good. God is good. He knows. He's already seen the end from the beginning. And He knows what's best for us. And He desires us to talk to Him and know Him. And walk with Him. In the cool of the day, like Adam and Eve. And He restored that back to us. We have that ability now. We can go straight to the throne. Why? Because the blood of Christ cries out mercy for us. He took that blood and sprinkled it on the heavenly tabernacle. In the heavenlies. He put it on the heavenly mercy seat. He said, mercy for all. So that when you stand before the Father, and the devil says, well, you did this and you did that. And Jesus is going to be there. You know, you see, the judge is our Father. Jesus, our brother, is our lawyer. He's going to be standing there. And He said, I would like to present before the court of heaven the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, my blood, Father, before this. I know Satan's saying you're guilty. But I'm telling you, here's my blood. Here are the stripes. I'd like to bring you. Exhibit number 2, Father, the stripes that were laid upon my back. The beating that I took for them. That they might be well. That they could be healed. They could be restored physically, emotionally, spiritually, in their mind, in their body. In every way, they would be redeemed. I became sin. Present to you, Father, this resurrected body which went to hell in their place and came forth victory because sin could not be found in me. I placed all their sin that you had placed upon me. Mr. Devil, your day is done. Your accusations are through. The battle's been won. There's victory in the house today, I say, because the glory of God shall come when you come and ask of me. For this salvation is so great and so awesome and free. There's nothing that can stop me when you come and ask, for I paid the price and you're free at last. Free from sin, free from shame, free from guilt, free from fear. And all you can do is come and bask in my presence and I'll be there. I come inside of you and you come unto me. We become one and we walk together, you see, into a glorious harmony, into a family that I've desired since the beginning of time. See, God desired a family. He's a good, good Father. We've got earthly fathers that are really good. I thank God for all the earthly fathers and the examples they set before us. They take care of their children. They feed them, make sure they're clothed. They talk with them and try to get them in the right direction. But we got a Father that loved us. That even though we went wayward, He came and found us. He came looking for us. Adam, where art thou? Man, where are you? I desire to have a relationship with you. I desire to know you. Will you come? Will you come to me? I'm good. I'm a good Father. I'm not going to do you wrong. Maybe some people here in the sound of my voice, maybe here today, maybe I had a terrible father. You can have a good Father, a heavenly Father. No earthly father's been perfect. But we got a Father in heaven that is perfect, that is holy and right. Psalm 145, 8 and 9. Psalm 145, 8 and 9 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. He is a good Father. He's compassionate. He's gracious, full of mercy. Slow to anger. He says He's full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. You see, mercy is when, yes, I'm guilty. I've sinned, Father. I've done wrong in Your sight. I need a Savior. And He says, okay, I forgive you. He's good to all. And then we come to the New Testament where it says we're saved by grace. You see, grace takes the same person that was guilty. Said, yes, I've lied, Father. I've cheated. I've stolen something from somebody. I've done wrong, be it big or small. Maybe you murdered somebody. God can forgive murder and will. Say, well, I never shot anybody. That's good. But sometimes we murder them with our words. Or it's in our heart. We want them dead. We wish they would die. Because we hate them so bad. See, that's murder too. When God said, love the Lord our God and our neighbor as yourself. But I've sinned. I need a Savior. See, grace says, okay, come on in. I take you as my son or daughter into this family. And I give you an inheritance. Yes, you've done wrong. Yes, you've disobeyed. Yes, you deserve something. You deserve punishment. The Bible said the wages of sin was death. That's why Jesus died. He took the wage. But the gift of God is eternal life through that Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift, a life. Hallelujah, we've got a good Father. He gives life. He's a creator. He's a good Father. He's good to all. He's slow to anger. Full of compassion. Of great mercy. Our Father does not withhold. He's a giver. Hallelujah. We've got a Father that loves us so much He was willing to give up His own Son, His only begotten Son. Willing to allow Him to come to earth to suffer, to live a perfect life so that all men can see. This is how our Father is. He's good. He wants you free. See, when you don't know Jesus, in your mind, you can make a decision, I'm going to do all the right things. You know, and we can do it for a while. And maybe, you know, try to do all the right things. But deep down in our heart, you know, that desire is still in there. It's kind of like the boy that is made to sit down, right? The teacher makes him sit down. Finally, he sits in his chair and he's there. He said, I may be sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. See, that's what his heart's telling him. That's why we take people and we could say, well, don't sin anymore. Stop sinning like that. But if their heart's not changed, if they don't know Jesus, they can't. They can't stay in that situation forever. we can curb and train the flesh so far in a person. But that's why we have laws. The Bible says the law is for the lawless. It's not for the righteous, the people that are doing right, but for the few that can't seem to get it together. You know, we can't be having people kill one another. That's why you go to jail. See, that's how God had to deal with them in the Old Testament, with the flesh, outwardly. You know, when they were in the wilderness, you know, he had to take them around the mountain, till they could finally realize, yeah, God's good. He wants us to get going here. But he was trying to get them to really, truly say, yes, I believe that. I know that. They believed in the Father. They believed in all these things. But their heart was still bound to sin. Paul said that in Romans 7. He said, I want to do good, but I can't. I got another law at work within me. The law of sin and death was at work on the inside of me. In my mind, I want to do what's right. I want to please God. I want to obey God. I want to do what's right. See, but see, the Bible says, even all our righteousness, even if we do do right, our effort, our own human effort, is as filthy rags to him. It's like nothing. It's garbage. It's trash. Worse than that, it stinks. I won't get into what that really is. But anyway, these are, you know, it's just a stench in his nose. Our own effort cannot save us. That's why we had to have the Savior. Man, whew, I am preaching on this thing today. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, let's go. God, I'm going to just pass down here. We've got a good Father. He is a creator. He's a good Father. He's come to give life and life more abundant. He's a giver, is what I'm saying. He is a giver. God is not a withholder. Every good, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. In other words, he's not going to change. God's unchangeable. I mean, you might think your mother is unchangeable or your father was unchangeable. God is unchangeable. I mean, when they told you to do something, they're not going to change on it, you know. You might be able to talk them out of it eventually, but you're not going to talk God out of it. Okay, God. I mean, that was tried, you know. Cain and Abel. Abel tried to bring a different kind of sacrifice. He said, I've worked hard. Here's all my efforts. Lord, I brought my fruit. But the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. His sin couldn't do it. God had a way. He made a way. And his name is Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Good news. A good Father. But our Father's a giver. He's not withholding. Let's go to Luke 11. I'm going to close up here shortly. That's my first closing. Luke 11. I just want us to see here. He's a good Father. I'm going to go ahead and read these first 13 verses. This is just it shows the goodness of our Father, really, when we look at it and see it. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. See, God's our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. See, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, now listen to this, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Give me some food. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he, from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and that just means his persistence, his boldness, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, he's, friend, I need some help. Come on, man. I know you're in there. I got somebody that came and we don't have anything right now, but we need some, just a little bread. Come on. Oh, I can't come right now. I'm in bed, man. Come back tomorrow. But our Father is not like that. Verse 9. And I say unto you, ask. Ask the Father. Because he's just teaching them how to pray, right? He said, our Father, which art in heaven. So who are we going to ask? We're going to ask the Father. He's teaching them to pray right here. Verse 9. And I say, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, your son or daughter asks for bread, will he give him a stone? What's the answer? No, he's not going to give his son a stone. He's going to give him bread. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No, he's not going to give him a serpent instead of fish. Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? What's the answer? Of course not. So he's saying, if you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In other words, you're going to receive what you ask for. Ask and you will receive. That's how our Father is. He's a giver. He's not a withholder. See, in the natural, he's just showing him. He said, hey, he knocks on his friend's door. He may not get up right away, but if you're persistent enough, he'll finally get up. Just get you. Okay, here you go. Here you go. You know, that's not our Father. He's not giving us gifts just to get us away. He said, if you come and ask, come talk to me. Let's talk this over. Come on, son. I'll give it to you. You come seeking after me. You're going to find it. You come knocking on my door, I'm going to open it. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a giver. He's not a withholder. He's not going to hold anything back from us. I'm talking about our Father, your Father, the one that is the Father of your spirit, the one that will birth you from above if you'll ask him. And I know most of us have, if not all of us. We ask him to come on in, Jesus. We believe. Hallelujah. He's not condemning us. That's the next point of my message. John chapter 3. We'll probably finish right here, I think. John chapter 3. Verse number 16. And verse 17. Many times when we read 16, we forget about 17. But he's not a father that condemns us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because why? He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is already condemned. He's already lost. He's already dead on the inside. He's not born again yet. It's not hard. It's so simple that sometimes we miss it. It's so profound that it's awesome. It's so wonderful and so true. Our Father is good. He's a giver. He's not a condemner. That's my next point. Our Father does not condemn. That's what we're talking about here. When we're in Christ Jesus and we find him, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after that old nature, But after that new life that I put on the inside of you, where the law of the Spirit of life sets you free from that law of sin and death, now you have a Father that loves you. For God so loved the world, He gave. I told you He's a giver. He's a lover. He's a creator. He is good to all. Hallelujah. But He does love us. And we see here in closing here, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 John 3, 1. He's our Father. He's our Daddy. Sometimes I say that. You're my Daddy. Father, you're my Daddy. Yeah, He's God Almighty. We need to remember that. And it doesn't, not that we become so familiar with God that He's not God. But yet He's very personal to us. He can be our Father, our Daddy, our Papa. The one that we love, the one that loves us so much. 1 John 3, 1, behold, what manner of the love the Father, our Father, hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, right now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is right now. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as He is pure. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we would be called the sons of God. Now, right now, today. Because there's no condemnation. There's a Father that loves us. There's no condemnation. He's a giver. He's good. He's a creator. He created us to have that fellowship with Him. And I know in this church we've been doing that. We've been fellowshipping with Him. Talking to Him. You know, spending that time with Him. Those of you that come here regular, we know that. But this morning I just want to say, if there's anybody, the sound of my voice right now. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're listening by audio or video. If you don't know Jesus today and you want to receive Him, the Bible says that as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the Son of God. John 1:12. We read that verse earlier. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He's not going to cast you out. And the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We know, we believed. Because we believed, we have a Father that loves us. We've got a Father that's not condemning us. We've got a Father that receives us, that wants fellowship with us. But it all begins with one simple step. Believing that Jesus Christ paid that price. He came as the man, lived a sinless life, willingly laid His life down, and went all the way to the place of death. Death on the cross. That all men may be saved. In His hands for all eternity will rest the marks. Those holes are going to be in Him because He chose to become a man for all eternity. Those hands are going to be there with the holes right there. The hole will be there in His side. What the Bible said, He's now, of course, doesn't have that flesh and blood body, but he's got a glorified body, which you and I will one day receive. When either we die and we're in his presence, you know, but he's coming back again. Thus says, as you saw him go, he's going to come. They saw him. He left in the cloud. He's coming in the cloud. The Bible said he comes in the clouds of glory. Amen. He's going to be riding that horse. He's coming with 10,000s of his saints. All those that have gone before us, which are cheering us on, they're in heaven. Those that received Christ are in heaven. Those that didn't are in hell. And it's a sad case because all's been forgiven. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why every one of you has opportunities all around us to witness to people, to share Jesus. That's why we share Jesus with people. Because he is the way, the truth, the life. God could have gave us no way out. Could have just said, you're lost, mankind. Forget you. No, he said, I love you. I decide to purchase you and bring you back to myself. To give you purpose. To give you life. Eternal life. Not eternal death. See, eternal death is being separated from God forever. In a place called hell that God did not create for man. The Bible says he created it for the devil and for his angels. He did not create hell for man. But that's where man goes if he doesn't receive Jesus. And eternally suffering forever and ever with gnashing of teeth and fire. And it's terrible. And I don't want anybody to go there. And God doesn't want anybody to go there. That's why he sent Jesus. So you don't have to. Not just that, but that you can have the life. There's two sides of this thing. You have a relationship with the God of all creation. The one that's all-knowing and all-powerful. The one that can take you from where you are to where he desired you to be before the foundation of the world. The plan that he put on the inside of your heart to know him. Hallelujah. What a Savior.